sound bites. Call the show now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 800-790-0415 or soundbites.org. Now, alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on member-supported JAZZ 90.1.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. America, and all the chips in the PC. It is Saturday, the 1st of August. Where does the summer go? Anno Domini 2009, and you lucky people. You're listening to Soundbites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And at 4 minutes after the hour, give us a call. The numbers are 966-5299. That's 966-JAZZ in the 585 area code. Outside the 585 area code, it's a toll-free number, 1-800-790-0415. That's 1-800-790-0415. Right here on member-supported JAZZ 90.1.
Two things we should mention. One, we're having a party. And we will be giving away tickets.
Exactly.
So stay tuned, because you never know when we're going to feel like all of a sudden say, let's get some away.
That's right. September 5th is the party. We will be at the Radisson Riverside Hotel from 11 a.m.?
11 to 3.
Yeah, 11 to 3. And we'll be doing the show live from noon to 2, so that'll be exciting. You can come and sit on my lap and talk on the radio.
We'll have shirts there that we, if you want to buy a shirt, and we'll autograph it.
We'll
for
autograph
you.
It for you right there, so you'll know it's genuine.
Yes,
and it's just going to be a great party. There's going to be munchies and a cash bar and a cake, and it's just going to be.
And the list is going to grow, and once we know more and got more confirmed, we'll be able to tell you more.
But the only way you can come is if you have a ticket. And the only way you can get a ticket is to be the right caller here on the station. So stay tuned. We'll be giving away a couple of sets of tickets later on today. So don't fail to miss it. See all the people on the podcast. I'm sorry. I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah.
It's you got to listen live. And we're on the web.
Yeah.
We're live on the web at Jazz 90.1. You can see the link at our website at soundbites.org. That's bites with a Y. Francis would like us to remind you. So if you're not able to catch the signal, catch us on the web at Jazz 90.1. Listen live, and we'll be there for you, and you'll be there for us, and life will just be good all the way
around. The other thing, though, we should mention, though, is right after this broadcast, for you folks, you know, whether you're already down there or whatever, we're headed on down to the Park Ave Fest. So if you get a chance, from about 2:30-ish to around 4-ish, we're going to be down there. So if you're down the Park Ave area, you know, you listen to the show, hang up, get in your car, come on down. And we'll be at the tent. It's up by Mig Street. Come on by. Say hello. Love to meet the folks. And it's going to be a gorgeous day. I mean, it's
always a beautiful day in my neighborhood. Yeah. But it's going to be nice at the Park Avenue Fest, too. So join us there. I have a question, though. This says shake well and refrigerate after opening. If I refrigerate it after opening, how do I drink it? Do I have to crawl in the refrigerator with it?
Yeah. Then you could answer the one question.
Is the light on when you close the door? See, two birds with one stone, because we have too many birds and not enough stones. All right, here's our here's our poll of the day at soundbites.org. Yahoo and Microsoft on Wednesday struck a deal for a 10-year internet search partnership, ending a protracted dance and uniting the once bitter rivals against Google. Under the deal, Yahoo will make Microsoft's Bing search engine the search provider on its websites, licensing its own search technology to Microsoft to integrate if it chooses. Yahoo will handle sales of search ads for both companies using Microsoft's search advertising technology. There is no large upfront payment for Microsoft. Instead, the agreement is a revenue sharing pact. Yahoo CEO Carol Bartz says there will be boatloads of value for our users and industries. Microsoft CEO Steve Ballmer says the Yahoo deal gives Bing the scale to compete. Of course, the problem here is the government regulators. No one yet knows whether or not they'll allow the deal to go through. The companies expect the okay by early next year. Yahoo investors greeted the news with all the excitement of a funeral. Shares of Yahoo dropped 12% after the company outlined details of the deal. Clearly, Yahoo's investors remember the sorts of things Microsoft has done to other partners in the past. Though Microsoft shares did rise a bit to close at 23.80, many questions whether Many question whether the two companies can mount a serious challenge to Google, which dominates the lucrative market for search ads. So with the pairing fully in place next year, Yahoo expects its operating income to increase by $500 million annually. It also expects to increase its operating cash flow by $250 million annually, saving $200 million a year on capital spending by outsourcing its search operations. As part of the agreement, Yahoo will get an 88% share of ad sales from its web property. So, the poll at soundbites.org is my search engine of choice. And your choices are Google, Bing, something else like We Care, and I never search for anything because my soul is dead. And so far, 45 people have voted. 87% of you are on Google, which is what I expected. Two people are on Bing, which is half of what's on something else. So clearly, Bing hasn't managed yet to become the leader. Now, I realize that just clicking on a single radio button isn't going to do you any good because you want to say more. So underneath the poll, you'll see a little yellow box. Click on whatever it says under there, which I don't remember at the moment because I'm not on the page.
Give us your opinion.
Give us your opinion. And it takes you over to my website, AskNick.com.
That's
AskNick.com.
I like playing with the bell.
And you can put an opinion. The question is, why do you use the search engine you use? So far, four people have done it. One of them actually seems to have answered the question. So that's kind of nice. As I asked it, and that's what you do. While you're there, check out what I do. I put out a newsletter. You can search the newsletter, which is well worth the $15 a year all by itself, because I put in tips and tricks, questions and answer, rants and raves, websites with interesting things on them. There's a set of forums where I answer people's questions.
And that's where?
It's at AskNick.com. Very nice. Very nice.
Okay, I paid my books.
Okay, good for you.
Did you see Joy of Tech this week?
No.
Two guys talking about the Microsoft Yahoo deal and, a historic partnership, and it's a paradigm shift, and it's a game changer. It might actually switch away from Google. And then they both break out in laughter. Yeah, you had me there for a second.
Yeah, right. Because that is the way it works. We're all about the Google for some reason. All right. Our first caller of the week is Walter. Walter, where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Greece, New York.
The gorgeous Greece, New York.
Yes. Well, a couple of weeks ago, I'm the guy who said I'm trying to get a Wind modem to a Lin modem.
Oh, yeah.
Using PCOS, and he asked me, say, just call you back and see what my results were.
Right, because we gave you the site.
Yep. Well, being a little chicken, I said, I'm not going to monkey around with the PCOS that I have on the laptop. I'm just going to go ahead and try it on an experimental, a spare desktop that we have.
Sure.
But that's a different other story. So it was easier to take Dave's suggestion and open up the bottom and unplug the power to the Wind modem, and then let the external modem be found, and it runs.
Excellent.
So, great.
Yeah, because the other, but I'm having my own little quest now to really try to use the software that comes in that file, but I've been running into my own little problems there because I had, the desktop had a Conexant modem, and that's proprietary software.
Yep.
So I almost could have walked over to the dark side Linux of FreeSpire, which offers the drivers for free.
Right.
But I said, no, I'm going to go ahead and use something else. And because the PCOS is on there, and that's Ubuntu-based, I'm now going to be trying to use Metis in order to the Antix version of Metis, to see if I can then go ahead and follow those instructions and work on it. But first off, I had to go ahead and find a Lucent or some other non-Conexant modem.
Right.
Yeah, So that's the story right now. If I get successful with the software installation that's required, that you know, that's on the site that you gave me, I'll give you a call back and see how all that works.
Perfect. Great. Thanks.
Thank you.
All right. Always good to have people call back tell us how it worked and the fact that, you know, something they either just ignored us completely or it actually worked.
Why we pulled that one out of our butt.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, the real problem, of course, as we said last week, for those of you who weren't listening, and why the heck weren't you, the problem is that a lot of modems now are WIN modems, and that is to say that they are very inexpensive, but the reason they're inexpensive is because they don't have much in them. Most of the logic that actually turns them into a modem is really on the software inside Windows. So when you try to run it with any other operating system, Linux, a Mac, FreeBSD, whatever, you have to use special software that recreates that logic of the modem itself. And without that, you're never going to get it to work. So that's the deal there, and that's one of the reasons they're so cheap. I mean, a lot of people buy them because they're that inexpensive.
Although modems in general are dying off because everyone's got broadband and Wi-Fi, so we're actually finding it hard to buy modems anymore.
Yeah, right.
You know what?
What?
I think it's about time we gave away some tickets.
You're a wild man, Dave.
It's been a whole 15 minutes.
You're a wild man.
So tell you what, if you're the 12th caller and you pick up the phone, dial 966-5299 or 1-800-790-0415 and be the 12th caller, you can get some tickets for the Soundbites birthday party. Now remember, staff, volunteers, underwriters of Jazz 90.1, their families, and listeners who have won in the past 30 days, sorry, you're going to have to try again next time. But if you need a complete listing of the rules, you can by writing Jazz 90.1 Contest Rules, 1139 Maiden Lane, Rochester, New York, 14615. So pick up the phones at 966-5299, 1-800-790-0415, and be the 12th caller to get your pair of tickets, or tickets, I should say, to the Soundbites birthday party on September 5th.
There you go.
And the phones are ringing already.
And that's what we like to hear.
We have the beginnings of the show cam starting to come back up again.
Yep. Oh, there's a picture. Now, how often does that change?
However often you programmed it to. Every 10 seconds.
Every 10 seconds. There we go.
But I just noticed that the link isn't on the front page anymore because it's been down for so long.
Well, exactly. Yeah. Somebody's going to have to remind me.
Soundbites.org/showcam.php.
Yep. I'll get it.
Oh,
back
there's up, but a good picture.
Oh, that's lovely.
Not really.
I like that. That's what my neck looks like underneath the beard. That's I like this because you can't actually see my face. I'm hidden behind the microphone.
Behind the microphone, yeah.
This is me. We'll have to see now what happens.
Enjoy the live
show. Unbelievable. We have a wiener.
They're going fast. So all I can say is stay tuned. Who knows?
Yeah. Right. And don't forget, we are not only taking phone calls live, but we're on Twitter at @sound_bites with a Y. We are on IRC at @FNET_soundbites. And of course, we can take your emailed questions, which I have entirely misplaced. They're there.
Oh, we did him, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we did him.
We did Walter.
Let's see who we got here.
Show prep, yeah.
Yeah. Well, Dave prints all these things out, and then I have to find the ones that aren't something else. Hello, boys. I have missed you. Tony from Naples, New York. What type of wireless router should I purchase for my desktop computer and my netbook? I want to use the netbook in the basement and the desktop on the main level. So, Tony, what are you doing in the basement that you have to have the netbook? I don't want to know.
Basements are actually tricky because that's where a lot of the steel I-beams are holding up your house, and they can actually block the Wi-Fi signal.
Right. I currently have a SpeedStream router. The desktop is plugged into the wireless router with no problem. And the desktop is plugged into the wireless router. The netbook is in the basement and has an issue with the signal fading in and out. Thanks for your time and attention. I've been a big fan of yours for many years and have learned so much from your radio and television shows. I miss hearing you on Sunday mornings, but glad you're on Saturday afternoon. I will tune into your new show next Saturday. Well, that means Tony is listening. So, I think Steve's got it right there. The problem here, Tony, is that you've got, when you're in a house, it's a real problem with whatever is in between you and the wireless modem. Like, for example, a friend of mine can't get a signal in her kitchen because, well, the refrigerator is kind of in between her and the modem.
Big metal blocking.
Not much you can do about that except move the modem, move the refrigerator, or move the rest of the kitchen. There's nothing else you can say about it. The same is true with the basement. As Steve said, many houses have steel beams or water pipes or whatever running in the basement. And that causes a problem. There are a couple of things that you can do. A lot of times you can buy a repeater, run a wire to the basement, and then hook up the repeater. But at that point, you might as well just plug it into the computer. Beyond finding an ideal spot where you actually get a good signal, you know, moving the router around, moving the computer around.
Yep.
There's no magic we can tell you.
Like you and I with our older homes in
older homes is lath and plaster over chicken wire. Newer homes we're seeing aluminum joists.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. There's a multitude of challenges.
Yeah. You can often get a range booster that
will help. Well,
as Nick said, it's similar to a repeater where you run a wire to the other side of the house and then put a second access point in. Sometimes you can get an antenna booster connected to your existing wireless to actually increase the signal strength. You can also get an antenna booster on your computer. There's a company called QuickerTech I know of that sell antenna boosters for computers. They plug into the USB port because most laptops don't have exposed antennas.
Right.
Yeah, if you can expose your antenna and just hang another wire on it and string it along the basement. But yeah,
yeah,
so getting an antenna booster for the computer or for the wireless access point can also help too.
All right. That little sound tells me that we are about to take a break. So if you're on the line, please stay on the line. We'll get to you in just a couple of minutes. If you're not on the line, why not? Give us a call, 966-5299. That's 966-JAZZ. Or 1-800-790-0415. It's 19 minutes after the hour. With Dave Enright and Steve Ray, I'm Nick Francesco. You're listening to Soundbites on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. More with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Jazz 90.1 is supported in part by our members and by the 34th Annual Park Avenue Summer Arts Festival. The festival takes place this year on August 1st and 2nd with over 300 artists, food, live entertainment, and kid-friendly activities. As a reminder, no pets, bikes, or drinking are allowed at the festival. There's plenty of parking between Gleason Works on University and Monroe Square on Monroe Avenue, with shuttles to and from the festival. For more information on this year's Park Ave Festival, you may visit www.park-avenue.org/events. Jazz 90.1 will again be at the Park Ave Festival all weekend between Alexander and Meg's.
Soundbites, America's longest-running computer show, is celebrating 20 years on air. Join Jazz 90.1 as we celebrate this great occasion with a party and live broadcast Saturday, September 5th at the Radisson Hotel Rochester Riverside in downtown Rochester. Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray will broadcast Soundbites live from the Radisson from noon to 2, answering all your computer questions just as they have for the past two decades. You can ask your questions in person on the air and meet Nick, Dave, and Steve, and enjoy munchies, a cash bar, and even a birthday cake. You can only get tickets by listening to Jazz 90.1. For more info, visit jazz901.org or call 966-2660.
Hi, this is Otto Bruno. Join me every Sunday afternoon from 12 p.m. to 3 p.m. on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And at 22 minutes after the hour, you're listening to Soundbites on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Got to point your finger louder there, Dave.
I don't know what I was thinking. We have a caller. We have a caller. Our next caller is Dennis. Dennis, where are you calling from?
The city of Rochester.
Rochester, New York, hub of civilization in the Western world?
Yes.
Excellent. What's your question?
Well, I just need some guidelines. I don't need a step-by-step thing, but I've got on my computer, go to my PC, where you can, say, access your own computer from a remote laptop or whatever, and so I can do all that perfectly well, but when it comes time to on the laptop that I'm using to access my remote desktop, this laptop has a printer and it prints just fine as long as I'm printing stuff that's on the laptop itself. When I go to print stuff from my desktop, it doesn't print. So just give me some ideas of what I need to do to make that happen.
All right, hold on a second. You're on the laptop going to the desktop.
Right.
And the printer, however, is connected to the laptop.
Correct.
Yeah, that definitely is not going to work.
Yeah. Right.
Because when you go to my PC, you're not really on your laptop anymore.
You're viewing the remote screen.
Yes.
Yes.
So you can print from the remote computer to the remote printer, or you can print from your local computer to your local printer, but you can't cross the network unless you configure your printer as a networkable printer and open it up to the Internet.
Now, right, if that printer were connected to the desktop, you'd be good.
Okay, that's not going to help me because the desktop is not where I need the printer to. I mean, when I'm at the desktop, I've got a desktop printer, so that's fine. But then when I'm at the laptop, I'm someplace else, and I need that printer that's connected to the laptop to
print.
Now, right, Dave, it can't. You transfer the file to your local computer and print it locally.
Yeah, the other one that I like, and it's cheap and free, is LogMeIn.
Yeah, but LogMeIn requires client software on each computer. Go to My PC is nice because it's straight web browser.
Yeah.
But it costs $50 a month.
Yeah, see, LogMeIn is free, and like I say, I put
but
it on.
But it's the same issue. You're looking at a remote computer. You print remotely.
Yeah,
but
for my customers, the only it's
thing
been helpful.
The only thing you can do at this point, Dennis, is to copy the file to your laptop and print it from there.
Now, can you copy across the virtual?
Well, I haven't figured out how to do that.
Right. Well, yeah, you have to. You on the remote machine, you publish the hard drive to the internet, and then anyone can get to the files on the internet.
Yeah, that's a little dangerous.
Yeah, you wouldn't want to do that. In essence, you're seeing the remote computer, so anything you do is remote. You can't do anything.
You're not actually
locally
on your laptop at that point.
Okay. So, but if I configured the printer that's connected to the laptop, if I configured that to the network or however you call it.
Yeah, you have to configure it to the network that's at the remote location and then tell your network router to share that printer to the Internet. Then anyone on the Internet can print to your printer, including you.
All right,
but
I'll
then anyone can print to your printer.
All right, I'll try and figure out how to do that then.
Yeah, but the printer's at the remote site with him.
Right.
Right, so you tell the desktop, the remote desktop, to print to your local printer through the Internet.
Right.
So, your local printer you would configure as a shared printer to the Internet. And then on a remote computer, you connect to it as a Internet printer.
Okay. I think there's instructions on how to do that with the printer.
I do that with my computer.
Yeah, you can do that.
Yeah, I log in remotely. I can print locally.
But then you got to be a little careful there,
Dennis, because
pretty much anybody who finds that printer can print to it.
Yep. Be careful.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
There you go. It's we're this close.
Yeah.
Yep.
You know, I do. I run Linux, right? So one of the things that I do is I carry my netbook around with me, and yet when I want to do some work, I often need a lot more power than I have on the netbook. So I use OpenOffice. So my word processor, my spreadsheet, and my PowerPoint and my database and all of that stuff are on my big honking machine at work, and I just connect remotely to them over SSH, so it's all secure and you can't break it and whatever. And then I can do all the work I want to there. It gets saved on my network. I can print it at work, so it's waiting for me Monday morning, and it's beautiful. But if I had to print it at my desktop, that would make it very, very difficult. You know, at my laptop, as I'm wandering around, that makes it difficult. You can do one or the other easily. Doing both simultaneously is very, very hard. All right, here's an important thing for all of you Mac people. A Mac security expert has uncovered a technique that hackers could use to take control of Macintosh computers and steal data that are scrambled to protect them from identity thieves. Prominent Mac researcher Dino Di Zavi, or Zovi, or disclose the software flaw at the Black Hat Security Conference in Las Vegas, one of the world's top forums for exchanging information on internet threats. About 4,000 security professionals are in attendance, including some who are really hackers. While experts ferret out software flaws to fix them and protect users, hackers using the same information to devise pranks or commit crimes. Attacks on Apple computers are extremely rare, but security experts say that will change as Macs gain market share on PCs running Windows. Some hackers have already released programs that attack Macs, including one earlier this year that was spread to a small number of machines via pirated software. It is not illegal to publish software that can be used to hack into computer systems. It is against the law to use it. Dai Zovi, a security researcher and co-author of the Mac Hacker's Handbook, didn't even know there was one of those, did you? Said on Wednesday that once hackers start to put substantial resources into targeting Apple's computers, they will be at least as vulnerable as Windows machines. There is no magic fairy dust protecting Macs, he said. The technique, dubbed Machiavelli, get it, Machiavelli? It's like Macarena, but not as clever.
Oh, they're playing off of yours.
Exactly. Exploits a vulnerability in the Mac OS X kernel, the heart of the machine's operating system. It only works on machines that have already been victimized, such as ones attacked with pirated software. It can take control of Apple Safari browser, logging passwords to financial accounts, and data on bank statements. Mac's operating system, according to Dai Zovi, pay attention to this, all you smug Mac people. Mac's operating system will be an easier nut to crack once hackers start to focus on it. That is because it has a lot more code in it than Windows, leaving room for more vulnerabilities and bugs that hackers can exploit. This is a guy who makes his living breaking through into Mac, so he ought to know what he's talking about.
One would hope.
Yep. Now, they did, Apple did release a patch this morning to fix the SMS flaw. Did you have that as a news story later? There was a flaw in the iPhone OS. Especially crafted SMS message could pwn your iPod, iPhone only, because it's the only one that does SMS. Apple patched that this morning, so go to iTunes, plug your iPhone in, and you should get that patch.
Right. This issue really was very, very severe, and it needed to be addressed. Apple hadn't up until as late as Thursday or Friday, but they released it this morning, and so that's
published at Black Hat.
Yep, because they published it at Black Hat. And that's what Black Hat is. Black Hat is basically a conference in Las Vegas. It's called a security conference. And what people do is come together and talk about all the holes they found in software. The idea is that they don't, most of them, and by most of them I mean over 90% of them, don't talk about issues until they have given the company ample time to fix the hole. So, for example, they always bring Microsoft holes because they've already told them Microsoft, in some cases 6 months ago, some cases a year ago. Apple, they did one last year that Apple had been sitting on for over 7 months. And then they bring them out into the wild. And you might think, well, these guys are being very nasty. But the reality is there's two things. First, they've given them 7 months. Right, to fix it, and they haven't.
That was a Java bug in WebKit.
Right, and secondly, do you honestly think that just because they haven't told us that nobody knows, all the other hackers already know? So they've just, what that really means is that we've been sitting there fat, dumb, and happy for 7 months while somebody's had a chance to own our machines. And that's just silly, and what the Black Hat Conference says is it's time for these people to get off their patoots, mm-hmm, and actually fix these things.
And Apple did release a fix for that bug a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, so finally, that's a year and 7 months after it was. They were told about it.
One of the really annoying and strange aspects of the way the laws are currently written is that the good guys cannot go into someone's computer and fix problems.
Right.
So BBC got in trouble last year. They bought a botnet to do a documentary on how botnet works. And then they put a message on everyone's screen, because these botnets are just people's computers that are infected with something. They put a message on their screen saying your computer's infected and you should have it taken care of. That's illegal. You can't change someone's computer without their permission. So the good guys know where these botnets are. They know where infected computers are, but it's illegal for them to fix them without the owner's permission.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so was it Secretary of Commerce? One of the high ups in Obama's cabinet just this week was saying we need to change how the laws are worded so the good guys can go on the offensive now and attack the bad guys. Because right now, all the good guys can do is defense. They have to wait for a problem, and then they can fix that computer.
And it isn't that hard once you know what's going on. It absolutely is not that hard to write a fix for it. But the only way you can disseminate that fix is via a virus.
Yeah.
So that's where the problem lies. And the question is, what makes, and I understand the reasoning, what makes somebody a good guy? How do you determine they're a good guy? Yada, yada, yada. Okay, I get all of that. But really, it is something that that we need to handle and need to deal with. So, yeah, it is 33 minutes after the hour. Please feel free to give us a call. If you're in the 585 area code, that number is 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Or, of course, you can call us toll-free at 1-800-790-0415. Right here on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
You know, another program, though, has been catching a lot of this stuff is the Chrome.
Yes.
We've had one client, and we tried an experiment.
I, of course, don't get to run Chrome because I'm on Linux.
Well, you don't have to worry about much stuff.
That's right, too.
But he was running Foxfire. Because now it seems like, you know, IE was popular, and, you know, of course, that was the subject of every attack. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, Foxfire, it's like they're trying to go after Foxfire, although Foxfire does patch things.
Firefox.
Firefox, thank you. I keep thinking of the movie.
No, the movie was also Firefox with Clint Eastwood, based on a Craig Thomas novel.
But that was a good movie. But anyway.
The only time you hear Foxfire is when they go Foxfire 1, Foxfire 2.
Yeah.
Military. All right. Anyways, we're going between that and Chrome. If he went to a certain site of Firefox, he was getting infected. We switched him over to put the Chrome on. He tried a little while with the Chrome. After we cleaned it out, did he get infected?
Well, here's an idea. If you go to a site and you get infected, don't go to that site anymore.
He's not sure which one it was. We got it narrowed down to about 12 sites.
Find different porn sites, all I can tell you.
Mm-hmm. No, this guy is literally... in the a legitimate business, and he's got a number of sites.
Well, and that's one of the real problems is Google Ads.
Ooh.
And the real problem is that people buy Google Ads, mm-hmm. right? And Google sells them Google Ads, and they don't know whether or not what's on those ads is legitimate or a problem. He may be going to a completely legitimate site.
Oh, yeah.
But somebody bought an ad with whatever that keyword
is. That's
how
positive it is. Because he only goes to these certain sites, I say, because it's crucial for his business.
Right.
But I bet you there are, because he's not paying attention. He's just trying to do it. Crucial to his business.
And right. A lot of problems we're also seeing is you search for programs, you know, you hear about, you know, AVG antivirus or super anti-spyware, so you search for those. And quite often, a lot of the paid responses are fake programs.
Right.
So you click the first one that comes back that says it's, you know, editor's choice, and they're lying, and it's a fake program, steals your money, infects your computer even worse. And it's really tough knowing the good things from the bad things.
That's why I always tell people, go to the Security Tango and just download the stuff that's linked in the middle of the program.
A lot of those links, though, takes you to, like, Malwarebytes, takes you to the Malwarebytes page. And on Malwarebytes, they send you to CNET, download.com, to actually download it, to spread their bandwidth around. And then you go to CNET, and finally now, searching for Malwarebytes does not find bad software, but it used to. The paid sponsored results are bad programs. In fact, that comes something that we talked about when you were gone, Nick. A study came out that asked people if they click on links in spam.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
12% of people click on links in spam because they're interested in the product being offered.
Is that unbelievable?
Yeah. 6% said they clicked on it to see what would happen.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then so, and we talk about direct, you know, direct mail response. 1% is considered good and worth your investment in sending out postal mail. Now, for free, you can send email because you're going to steal someone's email addresses and you're going to steal someone's bandwidth to send out these mass mailings. So, for free, you can send out messages that you know about 12% of the people are going to respond to. That's huge money making for
huge.
The bad guys.
Yeah,
but
it really
see,
is. Here's the thing. And this is where we've all gotten very complacent. And a lot of new folks and relatively inexperienced folks, they click on things.
without reading it fully.
Well, and also they just think, oh, well, it's just here in the U.S. Because where I'm connecting, you know, is in the U.S.
Right.
They get completely...
Yeah, you don't even think that the internet is global,
worldwide.
Well, I have
worldwide. A problem. I'll just, you know, because I can probably just pick up the phone and call them. No.
We're seeing fake...
this stuff is outside of the U.S.
And we're seeing fake tech support that steals your money and gives you bad answers.
Yeah. A lot of it, folks, just because you're sitting in your home and, you know, you're clicking on the site and, you know, it's all in U.S. dollars and all this other stuff.
Mm-hmm. It's a level of anonymity that people mistake for security. And mm-hmm. and we hear about teenagers posting stuff on their MySpace page or their Facebook page. Well, you wouldn't want your parents to see that, let alone the rest of the world.
And right. that's there forever, folks.
Yep. Right.
Just because you think it's going to be deleted here or there, it'll pop up when you don't want. And they've been saying, I guess, a number of businesses when they're going to check out
yeah,
people.
For interviews and references, yeah. Google them. Yeah. Google yourself and see how embarrassed you are about things that pop up. And that's what employers will look at when you go mm-hmm. looking for a job.
So if you were at that frat party and doing things and pictures were posted that you didn't quite want to yep. be shown.
There was one case, was it Brigham Young College, a fairly conservative college where they refused to let a woman graduate from an education program. She's going to be a teacher because she had a picture of herself at a party holding one of those red plastic cups. And they claimed she was drinking. And that's, you know, violation of their, you know, moral code. You can't tell what's in the red cup. It could have been juice. So,
right.
So, yeah, she's now, you know, basically screwed. She can't get her degree. She got kicked out of college. And what's she going to say on her entrance exams and try to go to a different college or try to get employed? Even if she was doing something innocuous. So the school mm-hmm. was a little overboard on that case as well.
Yeah. Right. It's a tricky slope.
Yeah. I discovered something today that I did not know.
That's hard to do.
Yeah, that's true. And I'll tell you about it after we take a break. That'll get you back here, won't it? It is 39 minutes after the hour. And we'll be back after just a couple of minutes of some of these little economic dramas that we love so much. Give us a call, 966-JAZZ. That's 966-529 or 800-790-0415. We are Sound Bites with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Got a computer question? Call the boys now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299 or toll free 800-790-0415. Online at soundbites.org. Soundbites continues next on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Soundbites, America's longest-running computer show, is celebrating 20 years on air. Join Jazz 90.1 as we celebrate this great occasion with a party and live broadcast Saturday, September 5th at the Radisson Hotel Rochester Riverside in downtown Rochester. Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray will broadcast Soundbites live from the Radisson from noon to 2, answering all your computer questions just as they have for the past two decades. You can ask your questions in person on the air and meet Nick, Dave, and Steve, and enjoy munchies, a cash bar, and even a birthday cake. You can only get tickets by listening to Jazz 90.1. For more info, visit jazz901.org or call 966-2660.
The Jazz 90.1 member card is more than just a card. It's our way of thanking you for supporting Jazz 90.1. Because in return, you can save money all year long by showing your Jazz 90.1 member card for discounts at fine local member card businesses, including 45 East Fine Jewelers, Adams Basin Inn, Antonetta's Italian Restaurant, The Bob Shop, Bert Shapiro Photography, Hedonist Artisan Chocolates, Leaf and Bean Coffee Company, Lorraine's Food Factory, Mary Boyce of Mario's Hair Studio, Mind and Body Connection, New Health Cafe, Small World Bakery, Sound Source, and Tuxedo Corner, Irondequoit and Gates locations. So carry your Jazz 90.1 member card and show it when you shop. For a complete and up-to-date list of member card businesses, visit our website at www.jazz901.org. To get your member card, call 966-5299. That's 966-JAZZ, and become a member of Jazz 90.1.
Hello, Hello, this is Paul Conley. Join me early on Monday mornings from 1 a.m. to 6 a.m. on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Henry.
I'm Steve Ray.
At 42 minutes after the hour, you're listening to Sound Bites on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Just before we took a break, I did say that I was going to tell you about something exciting that happened to me today, but I think we'll wait for that because we have something even more exciting.
Let's give away some more tickets.
You're still a madman.
Hey, tell you what, if you're the 10th caller, pick up the phones, dial 966-5299 or 1-800-790-0415, be the 10th caller and win some tickets to a big birthday party. Again, that's 966-5299, 1-800-790-0415, and be the 10th caller.
The party is September 5th at the Radisson Hotel in downtown Rochester, New York. Hub of civilization in the Western world. We're going to have munchies and a cash bar and a cake and all kinds of other exciting things.
There's going to be a lot going on. I can't wait till things really
It's going to be a party. It's going to be from 11 to 3. We will be there from noon to 2 broadcast. We'll be there the whole time.
Yeah.
But from noon to 2, we'll actually be on the air. So you can come and sit on my lap and talk on the air, assuming the chair is strong enough to hold me and you.
And flashing back to your days Santa's helper.
Oh, yes.
Computer helper
I was
now.
Santa's helper. Right, now I'll be a computer helper. Join us, and join us. It's going to be fun. It's going to be lots of fun.
And we should also mention that after the show, if folks, you know, it's a beautiful day. It's supposed to be a gorgeous day. Come on down after you get done listening to us here on Jazz 90.1 and come to the Park Air Fest. We're going to be down there from around, 2:30-ish or so, thereabouts.
Until 4.
Until 4 o'clock. So come on down. Say hello.
We'll be at the corner of Meg Street there.
Meg Street. Right there on the corner. It's
one of those four corners. Hard to miss this. There's only four corners.
Yeah, it's right near the... there's a hair salon. I already checked it out. It's right... So it'd be... Let's see.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
But it's on one of the corners. There's only four of them. If they can't find us on one of those four corners,
I mean,
don't say anything to us because it's embarrassing to you.
Just keep walking by.
Just keep walking
by. Look for the big Jazz 90.1 sign.
Yeah.
And the big Soundbite sign.
And our new banner I got that we'll be putting up.
Excellent. So, okay, now I've been... All right, go ahead.
We have a winner.
So you can stop calling in. Very exciting. This is going to be a heck of a party. I'm really looking forward to it.
This is going
to
be great.
I am really looking forward to it. But I told you beforehand I found something exciting out today. I was talking to this guy at the public market. My wife and I own a coffee stand at the public market, Flower City Coffee. I don't care. I'm just saying it. And we're there every Saturday, whether I want rain or shine. And
CYA.
And in the summer, my daughter is selling iced drinks, lemonade and iced tea and stuff out the back. She's doing a great job.
What an entrepreneur.
But somebody comes up, and then we're chit-chatting away, and the guy says, oh, I own OnDisc. I've bought stuff from I've used OnDisc. on-disc.com. You can get CDs duplicated and all this other stuff. No, OnDisc.
I know. I've seen what was at the non-dash that he didn't buy that one first, too.
Yeah, right. So I was just excited to discover that's a Rochester, New York company. There are so many companies that you don't know are local that I've used in the past, and this was one of them. I'm just kind of excited about that. That's all. That was pretty cool. That was a pretty cool thing. I love to talk about local companies and discover that those new local companies are out there. It was a great day at market today. It was very, very warm, and so I apologize to both Dave and Steve because I'm probably not as fresh as I was before I went to market. But it was very, very warm, and if you've not been to the public market, you really should go. It's so fun.
If anyone knows of a dead whisper quiet fan that we can have in a studio with the microphones open,
right.
Because it's stuffy in this studio anyway.
Yeah. And you sounded like you were having breathing problems last night before you said it was
I had a fan blowing on me. Yeah. My wife turns the heat up because she's cold, and I have to have a fan because I'm hot.
Right. All right, our next caller is Bill. Bill, where are you calling from?
Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh, New York. What's your question?
I have a Mac that I bought, maybe 4 or 5 years ago. It's an OS X operating system, and I love to use Firefox for financials. Yesterday, when I was in Firefox, and by the way, I clean up my computer all the time because I'm, doing financials, and I So I guarantee the caches and clear histories and whole business. So I think I've got a clean computer. Anyway, I was doing some research on financials in Yahoo Finance. And you know, with the Macintosh, when the colored wheel starts spinning?
Yep.
Well, the colored wheel started spinning. And I thought, well, I'll leave it and see what happens. And I came back an hour later, and it was still spinning. So I didn't know what to do. I was hitting Firefox, but nothing. It doesn't do anything. And so I turned off the computer.
Yep.
At that time, okay? Then I waited a while, and I brought it back up. And I signed on through, Safari and all that business. So I was in Safari, and my Firefox icon is still at the bottom of the screen. And I hit that, and nothing happened. Well, then I started trying to get on Firefox. I went back to Mozilla. Mozilla basically gave me two failed attempts for 3.51. And I had from May 18th, I still have it on my when it's a blank screen and you can see the icons, Firefox 3.0.10. I was trying the May one. That doesn't work. And then I've got a Firefox.
All right. Hold on.
What happens when you try? You should get an error message.
What happens when I try?
Yeah.
I can go to Mozilla. And
Can you go to Mozilla, the browser, the website, or Mozilla, what? Hello? When it starts to load.
Yeah, hang on a second.
I don't know what to do now. Mm-hmm. Stop. When you say you go to Mozilla,
yeah,
are you going to Mozilla the website?
Yeah.
Mozilla the, okay, you go to the Mozilla website using what browser?
Let's see. I think it's Google.
No.
Google is a different website.
Are you using Google Chrome?
I'm in Safari.
Okay, so you use Safari to go to the Mozilla website to download Firefox.
Right.
Okay.
So when I did that, it says, okay, we're downloading, it'll take so long and so forth. So I leave it and come back, and when I hit Firefox, the icon.
The one you downloaded.
And then there was a little menu coming down.
The one you downloaded?
It was downloaded, but it failed. It says it failed.
Okay, then you can't hit it, because if it failed.
Yeah.
You can't run it because it failed.
That's right.
Right. So you need to try downloading it again.
Yeah, I tried twice yesterday and got turned down twice.
Why did it fail? It should give you a message about why it failed.
Okay, can I just go and I'll do it right now.
Well, we don't really have time to wait.
Oh. Right.
So here's the deal. If you've got bad downloads, bad downloads are caused by one of several reasons. Either your connection is not good. Perhaps your hard drive is full, and you can't download anything else. That's always a possibility.
Well, if the hard drive is full, well, I empty a cache all the time and history, so I can't imagine the hard drive is full. And I got an expanded hard drive on this when I bought it.
Well, I was just saying that's one of the options. But if you're continuing to get bad downloads,
is what you're
then the likelihood if you're continuing to get bad downloads is there's something wrong with your connection.
Right.
Are you on a modem or are you on broadband?
Roadrunner.
So you're on Roadrunner.
My computer is also on the same on the same modem.
And is she running a Mac?
Yeah, she's running a Mac also.
Then one thing you can do is try to download it on her machine. If you get a good download on her machine,
burn it to DVD or
copy it to a thumb drive or something else, and then move it over to your machine and install it from there.
But one of the problems you're running into is likely because you've downloaded it. You've had so many failed downloads. You need to delete all of those failed downloads so they're not trying to open again.
Right.
Okay.
So
do that for sure.
Right. Yeah. So do all of that.
Uh-huh.
Try downloading it on your wife's machine and moving it over to your machine with a thumb drive or something else.
Okay.
And see if that works.
Leaving it download. Right. Okay.
And
that
sounds
good. I'll give it a try.
Okay.
Excellent. Thanks.
You're welcome.
Yeah. One thing to keep in mind for Firefox 3.5 is that you need to have Mac OS 10.4 or later. We're still seeing people that are running 10.3, and you have to stick with Firefox 2. You cannot run Firefox 3. Since they came out with 3.5, their previous version, 3.0, is the only old version they show. So they don't even show a way to get Firefox 3 anymore, or Firefox 2 if you have an older OS. Same thing with the Windows version. You need Firefox 2 if you have an older version of Windows. And that brings up a point, is that come September, Apple's going to be releasing System 10.6, which is codenamed Snow Leopard. And we've said for a long time it's a bad idea to get more than one version behind. If your computer can run 10.5 and you're not on 10.5 yet, you probably should buy a copy of 10.5, because as soon as 10.6 comes out, 10.5 is going to be gone. And we've seen a lot of people have run into this issue. They have 10.3 because they never bought 10.4, and now they want to run Firefox 3 or they want to run some newer software that requires 10.4. You can't buy 10.4 anymore because they stopped making it 3 years ago. Mm-hmm. And some of the older machines that could run 10.4 can't run 10.5 because they're too old. And you can't buy 10.4, so now you're screwed.
Stuck.
Right. So
you're hosed.
If you're not running 10.5, but you can, you should buy a copy now just in case you do need it later. Because one of the other big differences is that System 10.6 is going to be Intel only. So if you have a PowerPC Mac, a G3, G4, G5, something like that, then you cannot use 10.6. So buy 10.5 now, even if you don't want to use it now. But the good idea to buy it now so you have it in case you do need to use it in the future when it won't be available anymore.
Right. One of the interesting things, our friend Chris Reich, who did so much great work for us as our sound archivist and our sound person. There's little or
nothing. There's no editing needed anymore. Yeah.
We still love him, but he's, and this booth is so small, we really can't fit four people in here without some sort of marriage contract.
That's why, more or less, I'm running the board.
Yeah. Yeah. He's doing, now Dave, who spent the last 19 years sitting on his butt. He's now doing all the work. Doesn't bother us in the least. But he has started a new user group. You can find it on our calendar page at soundbites.org. That's bites with a Y, of course. Click on the calendar page, and you will see not only do you see the Soundbites radio show, the Soundbites Second Life gig, but also you will see LaPecky, which is his little group, and they're meeting like 6:30 on the
I love the acronym.
31st. Yeah.
Loose Association of People Exchanging Knowledge.
Right. With an I on the end.
With an I on it, yeah.
He's got that group. But the other reason that I bring him up is because one of the things that he has become quite the expert in is taking old Macintosh hardware that won't run the Intel software because it's a PowerPC machine, and resurrecting them with Linux on them. So you might want to check out that group, which meets every month, and check to see what they do. Yep, it's on our calendar, and they're meeting the 31st of August somewhere. I guess I should click on that and
Panera,
see.
There's Panera Bread at 12 Corners.
There you go. And talk to Chris. You can. He's even got his email address in there. That's very brave of you, Chris. And you can talk to him about resurrecting that old Mac with Linux on it. You can't run any of the new Mac stuff, but it'll certainly continue to run Linux. It runs it pretty speedily. There are a lot of programs. You can't run iTunes, right? But there are a lot of programs
you can still run iTunes. Oh, on Linux, yeah.
Yeah. You can't run iTunes, but there's a whole lot of other programs. For example, I run a whole bunch of stuff that essentially does everything that iLife does and everything that iWorks does. So it's different, but it's the same functions, just in a different way and in a different place. But so you might want to talk to Chris about that, and maybe you can convince him to turn LaPecky. Have a second meeting every month that's specifically for people who want to resurrect those old power PCs. That's a useful and exciting thing to do. We have the one problem that we've had for so many, many years is that we all get left behind at some point.
if you don't buy, and God knows, particularly in these parlous times, you can't really afford to just jump in and buy a new computer every year, whether it's a Mac or a PC or a Linux-based machine. Yeah. I don't care what it is. And that's why so many people are buying these netbooks, because they're so inexpensive. Well, you get what you pay for, and you pay for what you get. They're of limited use to the average user as their main machine, right? But as the secondary machine or whatever, they're pretty good. But the point here is, for those of you with orphaned hardware, you know, you've been left behind for whatever reason, Linux is an awfully good choice. But for many of us, it's so new and so different that we're, you know, kids will jump right in. Adults get nervous. They think, yeah, well, I'm too stupid to get this. They're not right. You're not stupid. You can do this. But you might want a little hand-holding at first. And so that's what groups like the Apple Cider Club and the PC user group, I forget what it's called all of a sudden. My mind is blanked. What is it?
Retro Computer Society.
Retro Computer Society and all of the others, including LePecky, are about. And they are places where you can get that kind of help. Lugor, especially in this particular case, L-U-G-O-R at lugor.org, is a group of people. Specifically, it's the Linux Users Group of Rochester. And so if you're looking for top-notch Linux knowledge and help, that is clearly your place to go. I am going to take them to task, however, and I haven't been there in a while, but the last time I was there, their website was woefully far behind. Oh, there it is. Next meeting will take place on September 17th.
They must have heard you.
They listen. Yeah. Yeah,
they listened the last time I yelled at them. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I remember in the Apple Cider group, we started out as Apple computers, because that's all there was 30 years ago. It was almost kicking and screaming. We had a Macintosh special interest group for this newfangled computer coming out, but we were primarily Apple II. And it was kicking and screaming. The last guy to finally sell his Apple II and buy a Mac, then we could become a Macintosh user group.
Right. There is a Linux newbie mailing list, so you can get help via email through that. All right, we are going to take a quick break. And when I say quick, I'm not kidding you. I barely get to... This is the long break.
This is the long break. Yes, yeah, 4 minutes.
Yeah, right. But we are going to take a break. We'll be back in just 4 minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. Don't forget to give us a call. If you're in the 585 area code, it's 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Outside the 585 area code, it is a free call, 1-800-790-0415. Join us on the other side of the news with the longest-running computer show in the known universe, and that's Sound Bites, right here on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Computer talk you can understand. More Sound Bites is next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
WGMC Greece, Rochester. A public service of the Greece Central School District, Jazz 90.1.
Streaming online at jazz901.org.
Frank Potenza is sitting in, talking about his entry into West Coast jazz in 1980.
I had a very sort of like blessed introduction into Southern California. I ran into Sherman Ferguson. I went and sat in with Frank Strazzeri on his Sunday gig at the Studio Cafe down in Balboa. And I didn't even know who was playing, and I think it was Frank De La Rosa was playing bass, and when he introduced the band, he said, "Oh, this is our new friend, Frank," and he introduced me, and this is Frank De La Rosa, and I thought, I'd heard of him. And then when he introduced Sherman, my jaw dropped, and I turned around, and I said, "The Pat Martino guy?" Because Sherman had done all those classic recordings with Pat Martino, and I, you know, those were records that I wore out. So I was stunned that I'm standing next to this guy that from the records. So we became fast friends, and he was really instrumental. He was the guy that sent me to the Jazz Safari, where I met George Shaw, who not only hired me at City College, but he also produced the smooth jazz records that I did in the 80s. So that turned into, like, you know, that one little bit of a kind of a few places that Sherman steered me really had a huge effect on where I wound up getting hooked up.
There's so many great players teaching now all over Southern California. Yeah. I don't know what it was like when you were growing up, if there were big jazz programs going around.
Not really. I mean, I went to Berkeley. That's where I did my undergraduate. So, you know, there was certainly a high concentration of great teachers and great players there.
It seems to me now, thank heavens, there are jazz programs a lot of places.
Oh, yeah, but
you're one of those who had to grow up the hard way and teach yourself all those things.
Well, you know, but Berkeley had the big reputation as the jazz school. There was that in North Texas, which was, you know, really coming along as well. But, you know, especially in the 50s, it was like, you know, that started off as Schillinger House, and then it became the Berkeley School of Music, and then when I was there, just before I started, it became the Berklee College of Music.
Alumnus Frank Potenza, who is now the chair of his own department at USC, sitting in with me, Helen Borgers. More is available at sittininjazz.com.
Hear a full hour of Sitting In with Helen Borgers every Friday at noon on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Here's another I Love New York travel tip.
With a wide range of habitats, designated migratory corridors, and a wealth of lands and facilities accessible to the public, New York State is one of the nation's premier destinations for wildlife viewing. Finding the wildlife you want to see and where to see it is easier than ever. The New York State Department of Environmental Conservation, in cooperation with I Love New York, has developed a new website to find wildlife viewing areas. Search by animal or by location. Whether it's a trip to see hundreds of migrating birds or a short drive down the road to a beaver pond, there is something to fit every schedule and every level of interest. For more information, visit the I Love New York website at iloveny.com. Our watchable wildlife. Another reason I love New York.
New artist Io talks about how radio changed her career.
I started playing at radio stations. I wasn't even signed, and they invited me to come and play. It became a little bit like a second home. Whenever I was in the area, I would pass by, and I would walk by, and I would be there with my guitar, and I could just play my music. And that's how people found out about me.
Radio is home. It's always on, always free, and there's always something new. Go to RadioHeardHere.com.
Welcome back to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Get online now. Call 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 800-790-0415. Or submit your question by email at soundbites.org. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And at 4 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites. Now, don't forget, give us a call in the 585 area code. It's 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Or you can call us toll-free outside the 585 area code at 1-800-790-0415 for the decades of you who are listening on the Internet. We are member-supported Jazz 90.1. We are Soundbites. And yes, I know you've been waiting and waiting and waiting, but yes, it's that time once again. Or? Yes, here it comes.
I need to wait for the other one to finish up.
Sure. So, all right, kiddies, here's the deal. Get your footy jammies on, grab a mug of hot cocoa in Indian style, and a semicircle around the rocking chair, because if we can slap them awake, it's time for Story Hour with Uncle Dave. Uncle Dave? Uncle Dave!
Oh, yeah, yeah. I'm ready. Gotta meet all these great people this afternoon at the Park Ave Fest. But before we get there, you know what, Lucy? Don't ask me to do something and lie for you. And what do I mean by that? Is, and this kind of fits into what we've been talking about already today. Is these folks, you know, we've been asking them whether they're dial-up or they're, you know, on broadband. Well, I had a machine come in that evidently was on the old dial-up. And because a broadband company came in and tried to hook them up because they wanted to be able to go fast, it revealed a bunch of viruses. And they're trying to blame the company. Because, well, it was working fine before. Well, it was going so GD small you couldn't tell it anyways. You know, I mean, but yet they want to turn around and blame them. And they want a new computer out of it. Because now their computer is broken. Hello, it's a Pentium 3.
It already was broken.
Running Windows 98.
Yeah.
You were unprotected to begin with, and now you turn around and want some other company because you were too GD lazy to do the Tangle or any other stuff. And, oh, by the way, it was outdated anyhow.
Yeah, I'm surprised the broadband company would even touch a 98 machine.
Well, they were...
trying to be nice. There you go. You try to be nice, and it kicks you in the butt.
Yeah, they wound up getting it stuck, you know, right in the ear, and you know, now she's being unreal. Well, I think they should buy me a new computer. I go, why? Well, this one was working fine. I says, no, it wasn't. It was running Windows 98. And there's no updates for it. And, oh, there's no antivirus for it. Well, it was still running fine. I said, well, I could strip it down and, you know, redo it. But it's the most they should do, not buy a whole new computer.
Yep, you're clearly another one of those people who should be at least, should be running Linux on that older machine. There's nothing else you can really do about it.
But they want people to turn around and pay because they're just too lazy to do it. And especially not even comparative value.
Yeah, it's the something for nothing society. We all want to sit back, do nothing, and win the lottery.
Yeah.
Or sue someone.
Hand out and expect. Yeah.
Sue someone, get a big settlement, and not work again.
Yep.
We've lost our work ethic.
Yes, we have. Yes, we have. And it just, I'll be honest with you. I'm with you, Dave. When someone says, I want you to lie for me so I can get something for nothing, I get real porky about it.
Yes.
I really get porky about it. I get it. I'd love to get something for nothing, too. I'd love to win the lottery and not have to pay a buck for my ticket. But you know what? Ain't going
to
happen.
They could be 60 minutes sitting outside waiting to come in to bust me saying, oh, well, you're going to do this or the FBI or who knows what. I won't lie for you. I don't care.
That's right.
Any insurance company or anything else. That's
and
why
I'm
I
sorry you're not an honest human being. I am. Don't ask me to lie for you. I won't lie for you and I won't kill for you. So walk away. You know, I agree with you. I hate that. All right, kiddies. That's it. We need to give Uncle Dave his shot. We also need to give him, I think, his blood pressure medicine. So wash out don't wash out your footy jammies. Wash out your mug. Take off your
footy jammies. They might have gotten sick.
And we're going to put Uncle Dave back on the shelf for another week. And back to the other stuff that we do. This is a very serious and very dangerous thing. A ferocious piece of malware that's infected up to 1 million PCs. Is stealing a tremendous amount of financial information from consumers and businesses that log on to their bank, stockbroker, credit card, insurance, job hunting, and favorite e-shopping sites, according to a noted botnet researcher. Clampy is the most professional thieving piece of malware I've ever seen, said Joe Stewart, director of malware research for SecureWorks Counter Threat Unit. We know a few others that are this sophisticated and wide-ranging. It's having a real impact on users. The Clampy Trojan horse is infected anywhere between 100,000 and 1 million Windows PCs, said Stewart. We don't have a good way of counting at this point, he acknowledged, and targets the user credentials of 4,500 websites. That's an astounding number, said Stewart, who identified 1,400 of the 4,500 total. There are plenty of other banking Trojans out there, but they usually target just 20 or 30 sites. Hackers sneak Clampy onto PCs by duping a user into opening an emailed file attachment, using a multi-exploit toolkit that tries attack code from several different Windows vulnerabilities, sends you a file and says, go ahead and click on this. Once on a machine, the Trojan monitors web sessions, and if the PC owner browses to one of the 4,500 sites, it captures usernames, passwords, pins, and other personal information used to log onto those sites or to fill out forms. Periodically, Clampy phones home the hijacked information to a command and control server run by hackers who then empty bank or broker accounts, purchase goods using stolen credit card information, or simply compile it for future use. Although that describes most keylogging or spying malware, Stewart says Clampy is different both because of the obvious scale of the operation and because of the multiple layers of encryption and deception used by its makers to cloak the attack code and make it nearly impossible for researchers to investigate its working. The sheer scope of the Clampy operation also separates it from run-of-the-mill financial malware. They're targeting not just banking sites, but a wide variety of sites where people put in credentials that help them, the bad guys, steal money somehow, said Stewart. Among the 1,400 sites he's identified are military information portals, mortgage, insurance, online casino, utility advertising networks, and news sites. The sites are hosted in 70 different countries. So if you've been sitting there fat, dumb, and happy saying, oh, I don't need to clean out my machine, you may already be a victim. So my suggestion is to you, you know, 1 million PCs makes the odds pretty good. So there's no reason not to be dancing the security tango at least
dancing the security tango and certainly being very careful about where you browse and what it is you download. And when you get an email, I cannot conceivably stress this enough. When you get an email and it says, click here, don't. Or if it says, open this. Really? Seriously? You're getting phone calls?
See, not me.
He said as he suddenly realized he needs to turn off his phone. All right, here we go. Goodbye. Thank you very much. Mine's now being turned off. Nobody calls me. Nobody likes me.
Well, I'm on vibrate.
Remember, yeah. I've heard that about you. But at any rate,
please dial me.
I don't want. That's way too much information. But you really need to be very careful. Don't just click on stuff. This is how they get you. This is how they get you. Don't click on, even if it comes from somebody you know, verify that they sent you something. I can't tell you how many people send me, click here to see this great video thing. It's very funny. Yeah, no thanks. Although, of course, I can click on it all day. I'm on Linux. That's not how they catch Linux people. But still, it's a very good idea to not do that stuff. Having fun? Steve is...
Steve's adjusting the camera, and matter of fact,
adjusting
folks
the camera.
Really want to be scared right
There's
now.
There's no focus control on that, I can see.
No, it's in the software. There was software that you can zoom in, zoom out. Well, anyways, tell you what. I think it's about time.
Way past time.
We give away some more tickets.
I love this idea.
Yes, because we're having a party. And tell you what, if you're caller number 10... pick up the phone and dial 966-5299, 1-800-790-0415. Be the 10th caller and win a pair of tickets to the Soundbites birthday party. Again, be caller number 10 at 966-5299 or 1-800-790-0415. Hurry up.
Hurry up. And the party is September 5th from 11 to 3. At the Radisson Riverside Hotel here in lovely downtown Rochester, New York. Mm-hmm. We will be there the whole time, but we'll be doing the show live from noon to 2. You can be on the air live, chit-chat with us, even ask a computer question. Why not?
Yeah.
We'll have free munchies, a cash bar, a birthday cake,
shirts there for sale.
And we'll even sign the shirts. Yep. Live on the air.
So
we'll
you
sign
know
the
their original signatures.
That's right. And they'll be worth something. eBay, mm-hmm. Here I come. Hot tickety, huh?
20 years.
20 stinking years. Can you believe it?
Yeah.
20
illustrious years.
Stinking illustrious. 20 illustrious years. I knew that. I knew that's what you meant.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's gonna be a pretty good deal. It's gonna be a pretty good deal.
And if folks want to, after they're done listening to us here on Jazz 90.1, want to hop into their cars and come on down to the Park Ave Fest. It's a gorgeous day to do that. We're going to be down there as soon as we get our butts out of here. So we'll be down there probably around 2:30, quarter to 3-ish, until around 4. So if you're down at Park AFS, come on down, say hello, and glad to meet you folks.
All right. I'm looking for
a question that has an answer.
No, right. A question that actually is a question.
We got. We already have our 10th caller. I'll tell you what. I might do another one just before we get the heck out of here. So stay tuned, and we will be giving away some more tickets. So we got our caller right now, but still listen.
All right. And we will go back to the webcam link. Somebody on the... Somebody on the IRC channel has asked where the they've answered it too. Where's the camera link?
I put it in
soundbites.org/showcam.php. And somebody's just been clearly looking through the Soundbites store, which you should all. I don't know why you're not all buying stuff. We will autograph anything you purchased at the Soundbites store, including the thong. The thong is one of the standard items. There's a teddy bear. There's mouse pads. There's window stickers. There's all kinds of T-shirts and aprons and hats. And, well, anything you bring with the Soundbites logo on it that you bought through that store, we'll do that. That's not a problem. So we'll be happy to do that. And in the meantime, we're going to go back to the phones
And our next caller is Joe. Joe, where are you calling from?
Oh, Rochester.
Rochester, what's your question?
I basically just tuned in, and you were praising Linux as an operating system.
Yes.
And where do I buy it, or how do I get it?
You
it's
don't
great.
Need to buy it. Linux is a terrific operating system, and you download it for free.
Oh, really?
There are several places because a lot of companies make their own version of Linux.
Okay.
One of the most... Now, I'm going to give you a couple of different addresses here.
Okay, now, I have a Macintosh, though.
Okay.
That limit me in this?
Is it PowerPC or is it Intel? Because there's different versions of Linux for depending on what your CPU is.
It's an older Mac. It's about 4 years old. It's an OS X operating system.
Right, but what model computer is it?
Is it a G3, a G4?
I don't recall that. I never saw that. I always just OS operating system.
Yeah, if you go to the Apple menu and choose About This Mac, it will tell you what processor you have and what speed it is.
Okay.
If it's 4 years old, it's a PowerPC. If it's 3 years old, it's an Intel. So that's 3 years ago was when they switched.
It's definitely 4 years old.
Yeah.
All right. There are a couple.
Okay.
Let me give you a couple of web addresses.
Okay.
There's a place called penguinppc.org.
Penguin.
PPC.
PPC.org. Okay,
right.
I got that.
And what that is, PPC is, of course, the PowerPC. That's the operating system you have.
Okay.
And what this talks about is, you know, you should do a little research before you just download something and go.
Okay.
The other place you should go to is, and I'll have Steve put these in the thing because they're kind of long URLs, but there's the PowerWiki.
PowerWiki.
Right, Linux on Power. Linux on the PowerPC again, Linux Wiki.
Okay.
There's lowendmac.com.
I think Chris has just been using Ubuntu.
And yes, and the best thing to do really,
right,
is like I said before, there's two user groups in town. Lugor.org,
L-U-G-O-R.org. L-U-G-U-R.
G-O-R. Which is short for the
L-U-G-O-R.
Right, dot
okay.
org, at lugor.org. And they are the Linux user group of Rochester.
Okay.
Then there's also Lopeki.
L-O-P-E-K-I,
I think. Hold on.
E-K-I.
L-A-P-E-K-I, I apologize.
L-A-P-E-K-I, okay.
Right, and you can reach them. No, you can reach them, Chris Reich at rocketmail.com, C-H-R-I-S-R-E-I-C-H at rocketmail.com. We have to take a break. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with a whole lot more sound bites on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
It's America's longest-running computer show. Back to more sound bites with Nick, Dave, and Steve. Next on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Soundbites, America's longest-running computer show, is celebrating 20 years on air. Join Jazz 90.1 as we celebrate this great occasion with a party and live broadcast Saturday, September 5th at the Radisson Hotel Rochester Riverside in downtown Rochester. Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray will broadcast Soundbites live from the Radisson from noon to 2, answering all your computer questions just as they have for the past two decades. You can ask your questions in person on the air and meet Nick, Dave, and Steve and enjoy munchies, a cash bar, and even a birthday cake. You can only get tickets by listening to Jazz 90.1. For more info, visit jazz901.org or call 966-2660.
Jazz 90.1 is supported in part by our members and by the 34th Annual Park Avenue Summer Arts Festival. The festival takes place this year on August 1st and 2nd with over 300 artists, food, live entertainment, and kid-friendly activities. As a reminder, no pets, bikes, or drinking are allowed at the festival.
There's plenty of parking between Gleason Works on University and Monroe Square on Monroe Avenue, with shuttles to and from the festival. For more information on this year's Park Ave Festival, you may visit www.park-avenue.org/events. Jazz 90.1 will again be at the Park Ave Festival all weekend between Alexander and Meigs.
This is Devon. Join me every Monday night from 9 until midnight as I kick off Jazz Horizons right here on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And at 22 minutes after the hour, you're listening to the longest-running computer show in the known universe, and doggone it, the best, Sound Bites. Give us a call. The phone number in the 585 area code is 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Or, of course, you can always reach us toll-free at 1-800-790-0415. That's 1-800-790-0415. You can stream us at jazz901.org. And, of course, we are here live on the air until 2 o'clock at member-supported Jazz 90.1. So join us. We're having way too much fun. Oh, here we go. The CEO of the company whose Google Voice-related application was recently yanked by Apple from the iPhone's App Store is hopping mad. What happened is he had created Google Voice. Do you know what Google Voice is? Google Voice is the coolest thing on earth.
No.
You get a phone number with Google Voice.
Okay.
You sign up for a phone. It's all free. This is all free.
Yeah, you said you just got yours,
yeah,
right?
I just got mine. Yep. It's entirely free. I can then say, all right, here are a whole bunch of other phone numbers. Here's my cell phone number, my home number, my work number. If somebody calls my Google Voice number, it rings all of those numbers. Except I don't want it to ring the work number after 5 o'clock on the weekdays and not at all on weekends. I don't want it to ring the house number before 7 o'clock at night or after 11. I don't want it to do the cell phone between noon and 2 on Saturday, right? So it does all of that for you. If you don't answer any of those phones, it not only records a message, it also transcribes it to text for you. You can call that number yourself, press 1, I believe it is, and then make a call to anywhere in the United States for free. There's a 50 other things it does, but it's basically Google Voice. And somebody made an app. Kevin Doerr, the chief executive of Durham, North Carolina-based Riverturn, Inc., created an application that let you run Google Voice on the iPhone. Well, Apple yanked. First, they okayed it. Then they yanked it. So Doerr took Apple out to the woodshed over its refusal to explain why his Voice Central application was pulled from the App Store earlier this week. I'm a self-admitted Apple fanboy, but this knocked me to the core, said Doerr in an interview on Thursday. In a blog entry posted Tuesday, Doerr outlined his conversation with an Apple representative identified only as Richard, who had called to inform Riverturn that Voice Central, an application that let the iPhone users log into Google Voice Central, the Google Voice service rather, had been removed from the App Store. During that conversation, Richard told Doerr that Voice Central was being dropped because of duplicate features of the iPhone, but repeatedly refused to answer Doerr's questions, including what his developers could change to meet Apple's requirements. Can you tell me what portions of the app were duplicated features, Doerr asked.
It lets you make phone calls.
I can't go into granular detail, Richard replied. Doerr persisted. Is there something we can change or alter in order to regain compliance and go back in the store, he asked. I can't say, responded Richard. Voice Central was approved by Apple for the App Store in late April, and although it is not sold in large numbers, sales had been on an upswing in the last few weeks, Doerr said, after Google announced it was offering its own application for the BlackBerry and Android platforms. Apple has a checkered history in its dealing with iPhone developers. Other applications, such as the NetShare tethering application, have been yanked with similar cryptic explanations. Doerr said he has received no replies to the many emails he has sent this week to Apple and its iPhone development team. I know that they're Apple and they love their shroud of secrecy, but I don't understand in this line of business, said Doerr. What's the harm in telling developers why an app has been rejected or pulled from the app? You notice he's not upset that it got pulled.
No.
He's upset that they won't tell him why. And I think that's completely fair.
Well, they did tell him why, but not in the detail he wants.
They told him it duplicated features in the iPhone. So the next question is, how do I get it back in the iStore?
Well, don't duplicate features.
Well, yeah, that's. Right. I'm sorry, but that's
simply like
stupid.
A lawyer asking a politician to answer a question. They do everything except answer the question.
That's exactly.
That's the
right.
developer program terms of service. If you duplicate features, your app will get rejected.
And what's wrong with having duplicates to be able to pick between one and the other?
There's 700 different applications in the iPhone App Store for fart noises.
But the iPhone itself doesn't make
fart noises.
Right. Yeah. So third party, you're duplicating Apple's features.
What Apple is saying is, it's okay if you compete against each other. You just can't compete against us.
And what a lot of the industry
people—that's low class.
A lot of the industry people are saying that most of this is coming from AT&T. Because AT&T wants you to run up your phone bill making phone calls. They don't want you to use Google to make free phone calls.
Apple is bowing down to AT&T. Apple's kind of under their thumb.
Apple's contract with AT&T probably forces them to do that, to protect AT&T's network.
Then Apple signed a stupid contract.
Right. And at the time, when the iPhone was first coming out, it was a huge gamble, and no one thought that it would make anything. So, in fact, the original contract was singular, a phone company that didn't really matter at the time. But, it's a huge problem for the app developers. They don't know the details of how apps get approved or rejected. This specific app, we don't know if it came from Google, AT&T, or Apple, and now the FCC is investigating.
Well, and what Doer is saying is, how can I possibly authorize spending money on iPhone development? There's a new mobile marketplace opening up every week, it seems.
Right.
So if Apple porks off enough people...
Right.
There's a bunch of
so in his case, the answer is
things.
Don't. Yeah, don't make an iPhone app. And,
yeah.
Right. And
yeah.
Try to make an Android app and see if that shows up on the Android phone. And what we've heard from developers are basically don't make an app that duplicates any of Apple's functionality. Don't make a music app. Don't make a voice app. Don't make a camera app. Don't make apps that.
And that leaves you with, fart noises.
Well, there's 50,000 other apps that have been approved.
Half of which are fart noises.
Well, yeah.
I'm sorry,
but
everybody says there's 50,000 apps. Well, 99% of them are useless. There's the You Are Here app where you punch the button and it says, You Are Here.
Yep.
Oh, thank you. That's so useful to me.
Where you see the bottle and the bottle's turning?
The bottle turns, shaking baby, sort of thing.
And there's people making money on those, which is ridiculous, too.
Well, God bless them, but I'm not going to spend... Yeah. What is it, $2,500 over the next 2 years to make fart noises? I don't need money to do that.
Mother Nature provides
I have no idea what I meant by that, I'm sure, but there you have it. It kind of angers me, I've always had a very high opinion of Apple, and lately it's just my opinion is going downhill fast. I'm sorry, it just, I don't know what it is. I just, it's me, I guess.
Yeah. We're even seeing the iPhone, iPod Touch, because it's the same software, becoming a new gaming platform. And a lot of companies are coming out with games as a platform, competing with the PSP and the Nintendo DS. So it's almost a new paradigm that's happening. And then developers have to be aware of this, that their app could get rejected for unknown reasons. The blanket, it duplicates functionality, has caught a lot of apps in the past.
I smell a big lawsuit there, though.
Yeah. Well, the developers sign a contract when they join the developer program.
Yeah, but it was already approved once.
That's right. They approved it and then yanked it.
And then in this specific case, the Skype app is still available. So you can put Skype on your iPod and make calls over Wi-Fi. AT&T, though, does prevent you from using the telephone network to make Skype calls. You have to use the Wi-Fi network.
And where...
So they could do the same thing with Google Voice.
I could get an iPhone and not pay anybody's fee for 2 years, right? And not an iPhone,
iPod Touch.
The iPod
Touch. And use Skype to make phone calls because it's a computer
over the internet.
And
half the places I go...
Right.
Over the internet.
I have wireless.
And we're hearing that the iPhone has been such a runaway success. They sold 5 million iPhones last quarter.
Now, how much is the iPhone?
The iPhone starts at $99 with a 2-year contract. And the minimum, the real minimum is like $50. But by the time you add data plan and text messaging, the things most people want, you're paying about $100 a month per line. So, you know, that's $2,000 over your two-year contract.
Right.
Which is why you're getting the phone for $99. And that's how all the phone industry, the cell phone industry works. The, you know, the BlackBerry Pearl, BlackBerry Curve, those are $600, $700 phones. You get them for $99 because you're committing to that contract. And because of the popularity of the iPhone, more and more people are recognizing that these contract deals aren't really that good for them.
No, they're not. And here's the deal. In other countries, that's right. not the way it works.
Right, yeah. In Europe, you pay $600 for your phone, and you have no contract, and you can use any carrier you want.
Right.
But here
and
in America...
And they're cheaper.
Yeah.
In general, whatever carrier...
Right, the cell plans, the voice minutes are cheaper, but we're hearing data plans are much more expensive.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, call me stupid.
Right, and that's... Stupid. There's one guy I listen to that keeps saying, I want to make a phone call. Yeah.
It's a phone.
You know, but now it's
if I want to, you know,
it's a smartphone.
I'll do a, you know, an email.
Right. It's the difference between the phone and a smartphone, where a smartphone does, you know, text messaging, voice messaging, video messaging, and now they're all the cell phone companies are adding video streaming for an extra fee. Ringtones are the stupidest thing. You pay $2 for a ringtone. That's ridiculous.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Well, and this is the thing. I have to be honest. This is the thing for me. I used to have a phone that did nothing but be a phone. Then I got involved with a group that's doing text messaging and notification through SMS, and so I had to get an SMS phone. And I don't like it as much. You know, it's a touch phone, and I don't like touch phones. It used to be when my phone rang, I pop it open, and I'm answering my call. Mm-hmm. I talk to them, I close it, and I've hung up.
That's what I do.
Now, I pick up the phone, it starts to ring, I have to hit one button to unlock it, then I got to find the little green
square.
Oh, because
you get the butt control on it?
Because it's a touch phone, you got to have that on it, otherwise you start pants dialing. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So then I have to hit the green thing, then I talk. Now to turn it off, I got to, because then it locks again, right?
Oh, okay.
So now I got to unlock it, then I got to hit the off, then I got to hit the done, and then I got to hit the lock again. I used to just be able to go, snap, hello, snap, I'm done. I really, really, really miss that. That's all I need on a phone. If I want to play a game, I'll find a human and a board. Mm-hmm. If I want to listen to fart noises, I don't need anything else.
Hooked on those fart noises.
That's all you hear about. Everybody's got that.
Lighters. And tip calculators.
Tip calculators. How hard is it to do 20% in your head? I'm sorry, how...
That's why I got my wife. She's the accountant.
She's the accountant. It's not that hard to do it in your head. I'm generous because I used to be a waiter.
Yeah.
And I know how very, very hard
they
that job is.
Yep.
So I have two ways that I give tips. I had to give 20% of the entire bill, which includes the tax, and I'm, you know, I earn a living.
Before or after coupons? I've had arguments with people about that. Well, I had a $10 off coupon. That doesn't count in the tip.
I don't care.
Yes, it does.
That's because you're a cheap ad.
I
do
it before. Person. Mm-hmm. Yes, they wound up busting her, but I always give it before.
I always just take the total and say, here's 20%, or they get nothing because the service was terrible. Those are my two choices. Mm-hmm. If you don't give good service, you don't get a tip from me. If you do good service, you get a good tip from me. That's the way it works, the way it's supposed to work.
Leave a penny.
I don't even leave the penny. They get nothing because it goes on the thing, and I just cross it right out large.
Well, the danger there is, does the restaurant pool tips and then split it equally?
And I hated that. I quit a restaurant because they pool tips.
A number of them do.
I know they do. I know they do. But I quit because they were pooling
tips.
So
the bad waiter messes
good,
up the good waiters. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, hopefully they'd sit there and, you know.
I got a whole lot less money when they were pooling tips than I did from me. So I quit. I got another job at much higher pay rate and much better tips. This is when I lived in New York City, and, you know, people come to the table and spend $500 on a meal on their party. Trust me, the tip was good.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that used to be nice. That used to be nice. All right. Here we go. Microsoft, believe it or not, is putting a bit of a spin on their latest sales numbers. Microsoft executives put a rosy glow on the company's prospects and performances at the company's annual financial analyst meeting, despite a recent quarterly report that fell short of revenue expectations by $1 billion. I can't say it's good. We're still down, but on a relative basis, it was a reasonable year given the context of the environment, said Chris Little, Microsoft Chief Financial Officer. Now, don't start crying for Microsoft because their fourth quarter revenue was still $13.1 billion.
But they were down
a billion from what they were expected to make.
Right. And they lost 1,500 employees.
Yeah, yeah, because they only made $13 billion in 3 months.
I feel for him, but I'm sitting.
Yeah, $13 billion in 3 months. Chris Little, who is Microsoft's chief financial officer, and CEO Steve Ballmer tried to distinguish between the aspects of the company's performance that it could control and those it could not. For example, the number of people who are actually buying Windows-based machines is out of Microsoft's control. And people are buying fewer machines, and you've seen it. You've seen it.
Right.
And trying to make those machines last another year.
And that's what seems kind of silly about Microsoft opening retail stores. First, it's a huge, huge expense.
Yeah.
And what is Microsoft going to sell there? Office? Or they're going to have to partner with PC brand. They're going to have to partner with hardware companies to have a Dell and an HP and a Gateway.
Right, and they're going to have to partner with all of them.
Right.
And likely they're charging them. I suspect the cost of every store is written off, is subsubsized by the vendors.
Well,
when margins are so tight,
be there.
Yeah, Dell's got a 1% margin. They're not going to pay to go in a Microsoft store.
Yes, no. Yes, they are. Well, they are.
They should go into stores like Staples where they're already, selling.
Well, the problem there is that the people aren't trained for computers. They're on toasters
last week. That's where the Microsoft expense will come. They'll have to bring in trained people.
That's what Apple
did.
Wouldn't
that be nice?
Yeah, that's what Apple started at with the CompUSA. They had the Apple section in CompUSA with Apple employees running it, and then eventually that didn't work out, and they opened their own stores. And it's what's interesting is Apple's been the only company to be successful at store brands. Gateway had brands that died. Dell had store brands that died. Most of the PC companies are either selling in the big box stores or they sell direct online.
Mm-hmm. So,
it's... Well, a lot of people are buying from the box stores now, and there are box stores that you wouldn't have expected to.
Right.
You wouldn't think they're box stores, but they're selling computers.
Well, and you have to watch out for how do they get serviced?
A real problem.
Yeah, even if you buy a name brand, you buy an HP from a store, you go back there to get it serviced, they'll mail it off to some HP service center somewhere, and you're out without your computer that's why we've been saying for years, buy locally.
Buy locally. Yes. You go to somebody
and not
like
just locally, but a local company where the service is local.
Yeah. Well, and I've said that for a long time. You buy from somebody like Dave or Steve, and you have a face to look at, and this is where it gets built, and this is where it gets fixed, and this is where you get your support and your service. And we're here every Saturday, and in line at the grocery store and at the public market and at the movies
and Park Avenue Fest.
Park Avenue Fest, and people who stop me at the street corner.
Yeah.
Hey, you're the computer guy. Can I ask you a question? No, the light just turned green. I have to go. There are 15 people behind me, and then they get mad. That still doesn't necessarily do it. When you have a broken computer, the answer is get it fixed. Right,
so. And you'd be surprised how many people say, I can't live without my computer because it's going to take 2 or 3 days to fix. Well, isn't it broken now? Doesn't that mean you're living without it now?
Exactly.
You're not going to get it fixed today, unless you want to pay
exorbitant rates
to jump ahead of everyone else in line who's waiting their turn.
Exactly. All right, we are going to take a quick break. It's rants all over the place this afternoon. We're going to take another quick break, but we will be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, and me, Nick Francesco. Please come back and join us on the greatest computer show in the known universe, Soundbites, on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. More with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray next on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Soundbites, America's longest-running computer show, is celebrating 20 years on air. Join Jazz 90.1 as we celebrate this great occasion with a party and live broadcast Saturday, September 5th at the Radisson Hotel Rochester Riverside in downtown Rochester. Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray will broadcast Soundbites live from the Radisson from noon to 2, answering all your computer questions just as they have for the past 2 decades. You can ask your questions stations in person on the air and meet Nick, Dave, and Steve and enjoy munchies, a cash bar, and even a birthday cake. You can only get tickets by listening to Jazz 90.1. For more info, visit jazz901.org or call 966-2660.
This morning, a woman reached out. A man stepped up. Somebody sat down with 16-year-old Stephen and taught him better study habits, and suddenly, toughing it out till graduation seemed to Stephen a pretty good idea. We're realizing the way we live our lives can impact the way others live theirs, their education, their income, their health. We're not just wearing the shirt, we're living it. Give, advocate, volunteer, live united. Go to liveunited.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Phil Dodd. Please join me weekdays from noon to 3 on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
I love that song. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And you are listening to Sound Bites at 41 minutes after the hour on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Wait, is it that time again?
Yeah.
I feel the vibe.
Yeah, I'm feeling given mood, and, you know, it's party time. So tell you what, folks, let's give away some more tickets. If you're the 10th caller, pick up the phone and dial 966-5299, 1-800-790-0415. Now remember, if you're staff, volunteer, or underwriter of Jazz 90.1, their families, or listeners that have won in the past 30 days, sorry, you're not eligible for this giveaway.
Sit on your hands, give somebody else a chance.
Pick up the phone, though. Be caller number 10 at 966-5299, 1-800-790-0415. Now, remember, if you want a listing of all the rules and the particulars and everything else, write down on good old paper and pen, write Jazz 90.1 Contest Rules, 1139 Maiden Lane. That's Rochester, New York, 14615. And they'll give you all the details. So pick up the phone and dial away, folks.
And the party itself is on September 5th at the Radisson Hotel, right next to the Genesee River here in downtown Rochester. I used to work in the parking garage of that place when it was the Holiday Inn 35 years ago. And let me tell you, the effluvia that came off the Genesee River at 2 in the morning, wowie!
Really?
Along with the waves of mosquitoes that would rise up off the river and come right at me. I used to sit in that booth and smoke Denobili cigars. They looked like dipped sheep leavings, and they were...
Sheep dip.
We have a wiener.
Excellent. And and it would fill up the place with smoke. Mosquitoes would come in and die. Mm-hmm. That's the truth. That's a true story.
And downstream from the brewery?
And downstream from the brewery. It was a wonderful place in
those
days.
Did you hear what the brewery did this week? Apparently President Obama sat down for beer with a couple of people and
the two folks.
So the president of High Falls Brewery sort of sent them a letter saying that the two beers they and the brand of beer they picked was reported. Two of the brands were not American brands.
Right.
And so I guess they're going to send them a case of Jenny and say, good American beer.
buy a local beer next time.
Yeah, and I'm sorry, Mr. Obama, I think you're a wonderful human being. Your birthday is this week, but cheese and crackers, Bud Light, seriously. I thought you were sitting down for beer.
Yeah.
Sorry, that's just my personal opinion. I'm not out.
The old story about the three beer executives sit down for lunch.
Yes.
And the president of Bud orders a Bud, and the president of Coors orders a Coors, and the president of Guinness orders a Coke. And so, well, if you guys aren't having beer, I'm not going to either.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Talking about cool places to go, you're talking about the Genesee River and all that. It's a little unknown fact, but I happened to discover it a number of years ago down at Canandaigua Lake. If you go right to the end there, where there, you know, the Wegmans is off to the left there, and you go straight out, and there's the pier. If you go there around dusk,
Roseland Park down there.
No, right at the end of the before you turn left and head off. On into the,
don't drive out onto the pier because that stops.
No, that's another story. I had a friend actually didn't and wound up going into the lake there.
Yeah, there's a surprise.
But if you go down there and just go around dusk, we happen to be down there for a party of that. The bats fly around there.
Oh, yeah.
Around the houses because there's the old-fashioned cottages in it that are built right on stilts on the water. And you could stand there and watch all these bats go flying by. I mean, they don't hit you. They're not going to get in your hair like stupid white, you know, those idiot tails, you know, they get tangled in your hair. But you can see them going by, and you can be down there and not get bitten.
Yeah.
I mean, as far as bugs, yep. because they're eating all yep. the bugs.
Yeah, the bat eats 10 or 20 pounds of bugs a night. Yep.
Yeah.
And the average bat colony is hundreds of thousands.
Yeah. We, many, many years ago, I was, in a previous life, I was a professional actor. And I spent a couple of summers with a touring company, with a stock company, rather. And we lived in next to the largest stone barn in North America, which had burned down the year before we got there. Not our fault. But bats by the zillions were living in them. It looked like a Bela Lugosi movie at dusk every night. They would rise up out of this barn and head off to eat the bug. We never got bitten. We could sit outside. And I'm a mosquito magnet.
Mm-hmm. Oh, same here.
They used to rise up off the Genesee River, remember, and come right at me.
That Bat Cave in Texas where there are 10 million bats?
Yep.
And it takes hours every night for them all to leave.
Yeah, that one. Yeah, the bridge. Yeah. There's a bridge. There's a famous bridge where folks literally come down just to the bridge at night because of these hundreds of thousands mm-hmm. of bats that just come out from the bridge and go out and eat all the bugs.
Yep. And we used to be able to sit out at night with no problems. Yeah. It was great and watch them to come up and then it done, you know, go back down. We'd get them into the house every once in a while and there'd be this, oh my God, it's a bat. It's here to kill us. Now, really, open the door. Wave a baseball bat or a racket around. Yeah. Exactly, right? Wave a cloth around and shoo it out the door. We're done.
Yeah.
It's not a big deal.
They don't have these the ones around here don't have the huge fangs.
Yeah, right. On the other hand, I have to admit it was kind of cool the first night there was a bat in the house. The couple of us who were cooler about it were like, yeah, just leave it alone or just let it out the door. Not a big deal. But everybody else, and we're a theater company. So we've got swords and tennis rackets and prop mm-hmm. guns that didn't shoot. So I don't know what they thought they were doing, but it was a very cool thing to watch. All right. And let's go back to another Apple story. It's a big Apple week this week. On Thursday, Apple published a support article cautioning users about jailbreaking the iPhone as well as other Apple handheld audio devices. Unlike the company's recent filings to U.S. Copyright Office that suggested that jailbreaking the iPhone might pose a national threat, and that, I think they have a slightly inflated idea of their own importance to America, and be the cause of AT&T's unreliable service. Nice. It's not that our cell phone network is lousy, it's that people broke it. The article states that customers who have installed software that made these modifications have encountered numerous problems in the operation of their hacked iPhone. This means if you get your iPhone jailbroken, for example, you will cause yourself, not others, problems. The problems that Apple mentioned include device and application instability, unreliable voice and data, disruption of services, compromised security, shortened battery life, because the hacked software has caused an accelerated battery drain, and inability to apply future software updates. You likely won't see much difference in performance as well as other issues between jailbroken and not jailbroken iPhones. You might, however, notice that your iPhone offers a lot more features when it's jailbroken. For example, older G3s can record video, and you can use your phone to store files as external storage devices. So you plug it in, and suddenly it's an external drive. Looks like an mm-hmm. external drive. However, if you install many third-party applications made for jailbroken phones, chances are you will run into some badly developed applications that can cause trouble. Jailbreaking is just the modification of the operating system, which is software, and can always be undone by restoring the device. Apple claims that opens the door to many security issues.
That's sort of the solution for people who don't want to go through Apple's approvement process is that you can release third party, you release your own apps independently, and they'll work on jailbroken phones that you can load software not from Apple. One of the sort of the design issues that Apple was facing is they didn't want their phone to crash with other reasons, but they didn't want it to crash because of all these background applications. The Palm Trios, which were the most popular smartphone for quite a few years, there were a lot of problems with it because people would forget that applications were running. You close the window, it doesn't close the application. A phone call comes in, your applications are still running. So you had all these background applications running, you had poorly written applications running, and then suddenly you can't make a phone call. So that's one of the reasons that Apple says they have such tight control over the phone is they want to make sure it works right.
Right.
But people should be able to do what they want with devices they pay for.
You would think so.
Yeah.
Right. You know?
Then that brings up It's been subsidized by AT&T, so you don't actually own it yet.
Ever.
At the end of your two-year contract, then you've paid for it completely.
Then you own it, and now what do you do with it?
Right.
Then you, buy another contract with AT&T, yeah. So you never actually own
it. Yeah, you never do.
Yeah. So, yeah, I don't, you know, okay, that's great, but whatever.
And then the Palm Prix mess. The Palm Prix was designed by former Apple employees, a lot of the people that worked on the iPod originally. So the Palm Prix identifies itself as an iPod when you plug it into iTunes, so you can sync your stuff to iTunes. Apple released a patch to iTunes that prevented that from happening. The Palm Prix issued a patch that makes it happen again. And Palm is complaining to the USB consortium. One of the things that Apple does is, well, in any USB device, you plug a USB device into your computer, and the device says, hi, this is what I am, this is who made me. So the company name is there, the type of device it is there, there's firmware numbers is there, so the software can handle it. Well, one of the ways the Palm is getting around Apple's blocks is by saying, I'm an iPod.
Right.
It doesn't say it's a Palm. Palm is trying to get the USB consortium to yell at Apple for blocking based on the USB tags, and so they're fighting back and forth about should you say what you are or should you say what you want to be.
Right.
And that all goes back to Apple's monopoly iTunes, iPod, iTunes Store, which is slowly, well, not really being broken, but by the record companies allowing them to remove the digital rights management. Now the songs you download from the iTunes Store can play on devices other than the iPod,
which goes back to the other story there that we were talking about, that the guy developed the app, and he's being told, well, because it's already here, you can't have another one like that.
Right.
You don't have the fart sound.
So he could release it to jailbroken phones and use it that way.
Right.
Yeah, and you know what? I suppose that after my two-year contract is up, I can jailbreak it all I want.
Right. Or the joke about the Apple sheep is you'll have bought the next version by then and still be under contract.
Right. Yeah, or I suppose I can just go buy an Android phone or
what about Palm going Berry with other carriers though?
Well,
after the two-year contract.
The only other carrier you can use is T-Mobile because of the technology in the phone. When the cell phone industry moves to the 4G network, the LTE technology, then every cell phone carrier will be using the same radios and hardware in their phones, and so it will be possible to use phones on other carriers. Right now in the U.S., there are two major technologies, GSM and CDMA, and they're mutually incompatible. So if you buy an AT&T phone, you cannot use it on Verizon because it's a completely different technology. But slowly, that problem will go away as all the cell phone companies go to the 4G network. Now, Sprint is already advertising their 4G network.
Mm-hmm.
I think Verizon and AT&T have said by 2010 they're going to start rolling out their 4G network.
You were explaining last night, and probably good for some of our listeners here, to explain the difference between, as you see it, 3G and 4G.
Yeah, the third generation cell phone network is the GSM technology is using something called HSDPA, and that's AT&T and T-Mobile. And then the EVDO, or well, the 3G CDMA is using something called EVDO, and that's Verizon and Sprint. And so the mutually exclusive technologies between each carrier is one of the things preventing you from using any phone with any carrier. There are some phones. BlackBerry makes a world phone that has like 8 or 9 radios in it, so it can run on CDMA or GSM at the 900 megahertz or 1800 megahertz, all the different frequencies that run.
Not a cheap phone.
It's not a cheap phone because and the battery life on it is terrible because it's got to run all these different radios depending on where you are. You can turn on whichever radio you're using. So it's almost like the difference between Mac and Windows. You can't run Mac software under Windows. You can't run Windows software under Mac. So until everything merges together, consumers are sort of screwed.
This phone that's sitting in front of me has a button with an infinity symbol on it. If I press it, do I become a Time Lord?
Cool.
How cool is that? All right.
Oh, no, Caprica. You enter the virtual world.
Right. There you go. All right, we are, or Tron, I suppose. You're still in
Tron Legacy with Jeff Bridges. They're remaking it.
I know. Yeah. How cool is that? That poor Tron guy is going to have to get a whole different suit now. Yeah. All right, we're done for another week. I want to thank Dave Enright and Steve Ray. who did great work today. I'm Nick Francesco, and I was here too. Don't forget that party coming up. Stay tuned if you haven't got your tickets, because we've got plenty more to give away. We will be back here next week with the greatest computer show in the known universe, Soundbites, on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Have a great week, and we'll see you at the Park Avenue Fest.